Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. It is hard to check the facts online. Social media feeds are full of hoaxes, fake news, doctored images, and deliberately misleading information. Thankfully, there are journalists and good Samaritans working to debunk fake memes and stories. Those noble efforts raise the question, can you spread the truth as effectively as the viral lies that they expose? That's something Craig Silverman is tackling daily. He's founding editor of BuzzFeed's Canada Bureau, and he's recently taken on a new beat, fake news. Craig, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
Now, this is not your first go at debunking fake news. You also founded Emergent. Now, that billed itself as a real-time rumor tracker. What are you doing at BuzzFeed that sets it apart from all of these other online fact-checkers?
Well, I think that there are some great online fact-checkers like Snopes and other places for sure, and there are some that specialize in politics. For us, obviously, BuzzFeed is known for creating content that is very shareable, that goes viral, and it's also known as a place that covers the internet really aggressively and really seriously. And so for me, it's a great opportunity to take some of the lessons that BuzzFeed has learned over the years about, you know, what makes people read things, what makes people share things, how do you create something that really, you know, can go viral, and apply that to some of the foundations of debunking. So the mix of kind of that old school approach of checking stuff out, figuring out what's going on, with some of BuzzFeed's approaches in terms of how we tell stories, but also putting it in formats like quizzes and things like that to actually see if we can get people to engage as much with the debunking, as you said, as much as, you know, the lie or the falsehood.
The quiz I took, I'm happy to report that I am a fake news savant, having guessed 7 out of 8 of them. Why a quiz?
It's one of the things that BuzzFeed does a lot of, obviously. And one of the reasons why BuzzFeed does a lot of quizzes is that people love to take them. They love to do them. They love to share their results. And it's a great, you know, time waster. And so thinking about ways of making the truth spread a bit more, putting it in a format that doesn't seem like, you know, the equivalent of eating your vegetables seems like a good approach. So doing a, you know, is this story fake or real quiz is one way for people who, you know, who may not be engaged on a particular, you know, topic where there's a rumor or a hoax spreading, to actually get exposed to what's going on out there. And I'm hoping to try other kinds of quizzes and other kinds of formats, you know, whether you're writing in a really serious way or you're having fun with something or you're telling it in a more visual way, which one of these things is going to work? And I don't know the answer yet, but it's nice to get a chance to try a bunch of stuff.
Well, some of the things you've done, quick, almost like slideshow style debunkings. There's that photo of a woman covered in blood that has been shared online thousands of times. There's a claim that she's a Trump supporter who was attacked by peaceful liberal protesters at a rally, I think is the quote. You point out she's actually an Australian actress doing a makeup test for a TV show. Other fake bits of online ephemera, like a number of anti-trans stories, require more in-depth coverage. So tell us about this phenomenon, how you decide what approach to take when debunking an online hoax.
One of the things that I pay a lot of attention to is why people are sharing something. And so usually people will share something and sort of ignore whether it's true or not if it really closely aligns with, for example, their political beliefs, with their worldview, if it's something that they want to be true. Those are all reasons why somebody is going to kind of put their skepticism down and just sort of push it out there. And so for me, when looking at which ones are worth debunking and how to do it, I want to know what is so appealing about it, because it might actually help me figure out a way to kind of appeal to that same audience to get them to realize, no, wait a minute, that wasn't true. Also, the subject matter is important. You know, you mentioned the anti-trans hoaxes. You know, with North Carolina's bathroom law, we saw a huge amount of hoaxes out there claiming about, you know, encounters, violent encounters often in bathrooms as a result of that, none of which were true. But that's a really serious topic. And so you can't really deal with that in a jokey way. You can't really deal with that in a lighthearted way. So that was more of, you know, a straightforward approach to make sure that people understood that there was a rash of these kinds of anti-trans hoaxes that we're spreading around. So the material is a big thing that dictates it. Another point that's important is also, you know, the exposure that the hoax is getting. So there are a lot of news sites out there that look like real news sites and that put articles out that seem to be real, but they're all hoaxes, and they do that to make money. And so I'm not going to knock down every single thing that these sites publish, because that's arguably going to give them more attention that they're already getting. So there's kind of a threshold that I need to see for certain hoaxes before I'll give the effort and attention to knocking it down. You know, the concern is, am I going to give them more attention than they were already getting?
How about tracing them back to the source? Are you able to actually identify where they came from?
It's usually not too difficult. As I said, there's a lot of these fake news websites, and I know I have a list of them, and I'm constantly checking them to see what they are. But usually, you know, people are sharing stuff, and there might be a link. So, you follow the links back from one place to another, and you can get the origin of it. Sometimes what's a little bit harder is if it's just an image, you know, people claiming that an image shows one thing. You know, it's hard to know the first person who shared that image and made that claim of it, and so sometimes you track things back as far as you can. But it's not too hard to, you know, search on Twitter to see the first person who tweeted something or made a specific claim. And you just kind of triangulate different things from websites, from social media, and from any other source you can find. And a lot of it is that element of just kind of scrolling back, searching, looking to see where this thing came from. Sometimes it's obvious, and sometimes it takes a lot more work.
I'm speaking with Craig Silverman, who has recently taken on the Debunking Hoaxes news beat for BuzzFeed. Well, these things can resurface years later. I've often noticed that and, you know, sometimes go back to Snopes to look at them, sometimes not. Then that's the problem. Hoaxes travel far and wide online very, very quickly because people love to spread them. Any sense of like how fast or how much more they get seen than the stories that debunk them?
Well, one of the things that I did a couple of years ago was a research project at Columbia University where we created a database and a tool where once we saw a story that was unverified, we didn't yet know if it was true or false, we would kind of enter that into our database and we collect all the examples of other places that were reporting that story, and we would watch to see over time as more details came out whether it was proven true or false. And we would look to see and compare the social share numbers. So how many, you know, Facebook shares did the earlier versions of the stories that maybe reported it as true, even though it turned out to be false, get compared to the ones that came later where they actually said, no, this isn't true. And overall, unfortunately, you know, overwhelmingly for the media, there was way more coverage for things when they were in that questionable early stage, when we didn't know if they were true or false, than actually when it was determined that it was finally true or finally false. So I think the end result is that we get exposed to a lot of information that is in that early unverified stage, and that will often turn out to be false, and we will never get the correction. We will never get the debunking to us. It's just way more appealing when it's new, or it's way more appealing when it's a lie, but that lie kind of aligns with what we think is true or what we want to be true. That's when we're interested, and that's when the media spends a lot more time on it.
So what does it take to be a professional debunker?
Well, I guess you kind of have to hate BS is one part of it. Like you really, I wake up and I'm excited to actually find some stuff that's not true and that people have, you know, willfully or unintentionally put out there. So there has to be some kind of satisfaction and enjoyment from it. The other piece, which, you know, over time you can build up different skills, but on a really basic level, you know, just having the question of, well, where did this come from and who is saying this? Having that basic level of skepticism, I think, is something that you need to have in order to do this. And some good internet research skills also helps. But also, you know, the thing that I found helpful is doing some reading and research in how psychology and sociology play a role in all this. Like, you really need to understand why people are sharing things. You need to understand why people are inclined to believe things. You also need to understand that in times of uncertainty, whether it's a natural disaster or, you know, some event where there's people are not really getting the full picture yet because it's early, humans do have a natural tendency to actually try and formulate theories, which can often turn into rumors, which people will often spread as a way to kind of deal with that uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to kind of appreciate that background. And I think people who, you know, get a lot of pleasure out of doing this kind of work tend to understand the human dynamics at play.
Craig, isn't there a little bit of irony in the fact that you were doing this for BuzzFeed? I mean, BuzzFeed has worked to expand its news coverage, but I do think a lot of old school reporters still perceive the listicles or the funny cat videos as spelling the end of journalism.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that there have been some jokes, and I've seen that. And actually, when I first joined BuzzFeed, and, you know, I've been doing this kind of work for roughly about a decade, there were people, you know, some people who made that comment and other people who thought it was a sign of, you know, how BuzzFeed is taking news and reporting much more seriously. You know, the reality is the lists and the quizzes and things like that, you know, they're meant to be entertainment. And I think there are a lot of media companies, whether it's NBC or, you know, any of the broadcast companies that have an entertainment part and have a news part. For me, it is important that there's a serious news part at BuzzFeed. It is important that there's support, you know, on every level to do this kind of work. And, you know, the other piece that's really, really important and that I paid attention to when I was looking at joining is, you know, how much does BuzzFeed actually care about verifying things on their news team? And so, you know, I do trainings and I help with things internally to make sure that we never get fooled. And that is absolutely a commitment by everybody. You know, no one's going to be perfect. There's a lot of mistakes made every single day by everyone, but there is a commitment to not only make sure that we're not falling for stuff, but to actually invest and put resources into helping other people know what is or isn't true on the internet.
So any big hoaxes we should be on the lookout for right now?
Well, you know, the biggest one that I've been working on over the last couple of days is there's a woman, she's an actress based in Los Angeles, originally from Scotland, who self-published a memoir about her time spent in Zambia in Africa. And she made a lot of claims in an excerpt that was published in a very large UK newspaper about her fleeing from rebels and hiding in the jungle. You know, over the past couple of days, people in Zambia have been raising a lot of questions about this memoir. And so we've been covering this story and I've interviewed her. She hasn't really disputed or given more evidence. But the other interesting thing is she's actually dating the head of the fundraising campaign for Donald Trump. So we have an intersection between Trump and between a memoir that seems to have false and potentially fabricated parts in it.
Well, Craig, thanks for being on the lookout for us.
Thank you.
Craig Silverman, BuzzFeed's Canada editor. He's also heading up the fake news beat for BuzzFeed. You'll find links to some of his debunkings for BuzzFeed, as well as a quiz you can take, which I highly recommend, all at wordofmouthradio.org.